nit say so is a muslim a guf muslim nefesh. It sustains both. And he says it's a bit unique in that other matnas kahuna, such as truma or meiser, it's the raw grain. The kohen and the levi, they have to take it and they have to sift it and they have to grind it and they have to do all the work and to make it to the point of flour and then a dough. Here, they get a ready-made dough. They don't have to deal with the grain, they don't have to deal with the flour, they get a ready-made dough. So it's unique in that this particular matana has a special appeal and a special meaning to the Shevet Kahuna. Okay, so that's the background of the mitzvah itself. Additionally, there's a pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel which says, "Vereishis arisei sechem," the beginning of your kneading, "Titnu la'kohen," give to the kohen, "L'haniach bracha el beisecha," to bring bracha to your homes. And the Gemara learns from there, Gemara Shabbos learns from there, that by giving challah, it brings bracha to our stored produce. The produce that we already took in from the field is nisbarech through the mitzvah of giving challah. Okay. Now, where do women come into this mitzvah any more than men? So just as we mentioned when we gave a shiur in Halakas Neros, there are two reasons why, although everyone's chayav in the mitzvah, and anyway, if a man makes a dough, he could also take challah, of course, and fulfill the mitzvah. But the women have a unique connection to this mitzvah and a schus to fulfill the mitzvah. For two reasons. One, very practical, and one, pikabod. The practical reason is that women are typically in charge of the tzarchei habayis. They take care of running the household, including preparing the food and baking the bread, etc. So it's natural that that's their mitzvah, that they're preparing the dough, they're getting ready to bake the bread, so they're the ones that should be mafresh kabbalah. That's the practical reason. And the reason alpi kabbalah is very similar to Halakas Neros, is that going back to Gan Eden, where Chava, the first woman, was makalkel Adam Arishon by seducing Adam to eat from the Eitz Hadas and to be chote, the one chet and the one mitzvah that was given. So she destroyed Adam Arishon, and it was nigzar misa on him. Adam Arishon was called chaloso shel olam. He was like the cream of the crop. He was the choicest part of the world. Chaloso shel olam. And this happened on an Erev Shabbos. So first of all, women have the mitzvah of being mafish chala in order to be misakin the chet of chava, to restore by taking chala to try to be misakin for chala's being mekalkel the chaloso shel olam. And specifically on a Friday, the Ramah brings the Isport Pesukim bring Shulchan Aruch that it's a mitzvah, it's an inyan for a woman to try to specifically create a dough, knead a dough on Friday, Erev Shabbos, and be mafish challah on Erev Shabbos, because that's when the chayv happened. It happened on Erev Shabbos, and that's a greater tikkun for this. Okay, so we'll get back later to that, that's from the idea of taking challah specifically on Friday. Now, min haTorah, the mitzvah of hafreshes challah is only in Eretz Yisrael, and not only in Eretz Yisrael, meaning for the dough that's made in Eretz Yisrael, but only when all, or at least the majority of Klal Yisrael is actually living in Eretz Yisrael. Those are two conditions in order to be chayav in the mitzvah min haTorah. Nowadays, therefore, even in Eretz Yisrael, where we don't have Rov Klal Yisrael there, so nowadays the mitzvah even in Eretz Yisrael is only the Rabbana. But different than the other mitzvahs, different than Truma and Meiser, the mitzvah of Challah applies in the Rabbanan all over the world. Trumas and Meisers, they only apply even in the Rabbanan, only in Eretz Yisrael and some of the outlying areas close to Eretz Yisrael. But the mitzvah of Challah applies all over the world in the Rabbanan. Originally, the mitzvah was, as we said, separate the Challah and give it to a Kohen. You give that piece to a Kohen. But nowadays, that is not done at all for two reasons. First of all, there is a question as to the Yichus of Kohanim. We don't know for sure if who we believe to be Kohanim. We don't know, for the majority of them, we don't know for sure that they're Kohanim. That's number one. And the din is anyone who's not a Kohen, besides the fact that he's not entitled to the challah, he can't eat it. It's an issur gomor to eat challah if you're not a Kohen. So we don't give it to Kohen. That's one reason we don't give it. Second of all, at least when it comes to in Eretz Yisrael, the challah can only be eaten by a Kohen if the challah is tahar and the Kohen is tahar. Now, nowadays, practically everyone is a Tameh, or everyone is Tameh, so the Chal is almost always Tameh, so they can't eat it anyway. Technically, in Chutz Laretz, that doesn't apply. Even if he's a Tameh, as long as he's tar from other types of tumas, a Kohen potentially could eat Chal in Chal's Chutz Laretz. But as I said, we still don't do it partially because we don't know for sure he's a Kohen. So the minig is almost always, almost never, so we're not going to get, there's some rare exceptions, but we almost never give the challah even in Chutz Laretz to a Kohen. We simply dispose of it in the manner that we'll discuss later by burning it, which we'll get to later. Okay, so that's basically the introduction. So now what I want to do is I want to go, before we go into what do you take challah from, what kind of flour, what kind of dough, how much flour, big dough, small dough, etc. Before we do that, I just want to go through the Seder HaFrasha. What is the actual system and process of being mafresh challah? And with the brachas, etc. And then we'll go back to some of the details of what do you need, what are the requirements, that the prerequisites to be chayav in HaFrasha. So the best time, the proper time to be mafresh challah is after you have created the dough, you mixed all the ingredients, the flour and the water and whatever, you made a cohesive dough, a dough which is ready to rise. And you don't have to wait for it to rise, but it's ready. You're ready to let it sit now and rise. It's a completely uniform finished dough. That is the proper time. That is the best time mechatchila to be mafresh challah. Now, if you have enough flour to make a bracha, and as I said, we'll go back to the details of that later, but if you have enough challah to be mafresh, enough flour to be mafresh challah with a bracha, so you have to be certain to do, like by almost all mitzvahs, the rule is the brachas have to be made over lasayasa, which means before doing the mitzvah. So you have to make sure to say the bracha before you do the mitzvah. Now, what is the mitzvah? What is the maisa mitzvah? So the maisa mitzvah really could be one of two things. The maisa mitzvah could be simply by separating a piece and having in mind, this is challah. By doing that, you fulfill the mitzvah that way. Or by separating it and then verbally designating it. Now, you want to make sure you do the bracha, say the bracha before you do the mitzvah, but not too much before. You're supposed to do it when you're just ready to do the mitzvah. So the proper thing to do is to basically put your hand and sort of grab a piece of the dough which you're going to separate as the challah. Don't separate it completely yet. Just grab it and make a little bit of separation, but it's still attached to the dough. And at that point, you say the bracha. The nusach of the bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kideshanu B'Mitzvosav Tzivanu Lahafrish Challah. That's the entire bracha. Now, there are those that say Lahafrish Challah Min Ha'isa, and it's not wrong, but it's not necessary. The Ikur Nusach is Lahafrish Challah. There are actually those that even say Lahafrish Truma. We saw the Torah calls it Truma, Challah, Truma, Truma. But any one of them work, but the proper Nusach L'Chatchila is simply to say Asher K'dushan Mitzvah Sevet Zivanu Lahafrish Challah. Okay, After you separate, after you say the bracha, you then complete the separation and pull up the piece that's challah. Now, at that point, it is proper and also correct to say harei zu challah, to verbally designate it as challah. You can say it in any language, it doesn't have to be Hebrew, but harei zu challah, this is challah. Now, not everyone does that. As I said before, you could fulfill the mitzvah just by separating it with your intention that this is challah without stating it. But again, it is the best way, the best performance of the mitzvah is to actually state, after you pull it out, to say, harei zu challah. Also, there's an advantage that way, because if that's what you do, and that's what you always do, so then you're not really fulfilling the mitzvah until you do that. Your fulfillment of the mitzvah is by orally designating harei zu challah. Memela comes out that if you forgot to make the bracha, which sometimes people do, especially if you don't always, sometimes you have too little to make a bracha, and then this time you have enough, and out of rote, you went ahead and separated the challah, and you forgot to say, you know, this has happened. So if you're planning on still saying harei zu challah, so the mitzvah is not really complete, so you do that, you can still say the bracha, even though you've separated it. But you were planning on saying harei zu challah. If you are, if that's your entire mitzvah, then you're finished, you can't make the bracha at that point. But if you were planning on saying harei zu challah, you can still make the bracha, so that's another advantage. But anyway, in any case, the best way is to separate and say harei zu challah. Now, once you've done that, so the mitzvah is fulfilled. Now the question is, how much should you be separating? How big is this piece that you're separating? So initially, when the min haTorah, there's no shiur. Let's start with min haTorah, even a little more so. You go to the mitzvah with a drop. However, the Rabbanan instituted that you should do a little bit nicer, a little bit better than that. And at a time when the challah actually went to the kohen, back in the day when we knew who the kohen were and the kohen were able to come to her, so the Chachamim instituted that a private person, as opposed to a baker, a private person should separate 1/24 of the dough. However big the dough is that you're dealing with, 1/24 is the amount you should separate for challah and give to the kohen. Now that we're not giving it to the kohen anyway, we're just burning it, as you'll see shortly, so that's not necessary. It's not necessary to separate 1/24. So theoretically, you think, well, let it go back to just the drop. But l'maaseh, the Rabban Shulchan says you should separate a kezayis. However big the dough is, separate one kezayis. Kezayis is about an ounce worth of dough should be separated. It's estimated, you don't have to worry if you took a little less, a little more. You go to the mitzvah, as I said, regardless. A kezayis is the amount Rava suggests or mentions that should be taken nowadays as challah. Once the piece is designated as challah, so now it's osur b'achila to anyone. The only one who ever could eat it was a kohen. Nowadays, we said the kohen don't eat it either. And to anyone who's not a kohen, or married to a kohen, or a child, you know, etc., is usher gomer to eat it. It's like treif food. So, therefore, one thing is, if you did take a piece, and you designate as challah, then you realize, oh, I took much, I didn't eat that much, you can say, well, all these kezayis, let me put back half of it. Absolutely not. Because whatever you took as challah and designated as challah is challah, because there's no real shear, there's no minimum, there's no maximum, for the most part. And therefore, whatever you took is challah, you definitely cannot put back any of it into the dough. It's all challah. And at this point, you need to burn it. As we'll describe in a minute, but when you burn it, you have to be careful that when it's hot, it shouldn't come in contact with any of your kelim, with your oven racks, or stove grates, or don't stick a fork into it while it's hot to see if it's really burnt inside, because anything that touches it hot is like touching any other piece of tray for food. You'd have to kasher the kevin, or whatever the din would be of touching tray for food. It's the same halach. It's considered, for all intents and purposes, considered tray, and it can make your kevin tray. So now, to burn it, you can burn it inside. I mean, the most practical way is to burn it inside the oven, being careful again that it doesn't touch anything in the oven. So the best thing really to do is to wrap it in foil, wrap it thoroughly in aluminum foil, and put it in the back of the oven, the bottom of the oven. Now, if you do that, even if you're cooking other food at the time, it's not going to affect anything as long as it's thoroughly wrapped. But the oven, even if it became unwrapped, as long as it doesn't touch anything, it will not make anything trick. Even if you end up, you bake your roast, and you bake whatever, you bake your challahs, and you notice the challah on the bottom popped open or something, you forgot, you put it in a piece of foil, but you didn't wrap it, it doesn't make a difference. As long as it doesn't touch your food, it will not make your food tray. If it doesn't touch your kettle, it will not make it tray. So, but the recommendation is to wrap it in foil thoroughly. Now, it's going to take longer to burn that way, obviously, than if it would be open. So you leave it there for a while. You don't have to take it out. You can leave it there until you use the oven a number of times. You want it to be burnt through and through, thoroughly. So as I said, if you want to check if it's burnt thoroughly, so wait till it's, take it out and wait till it's totally cool before you stick anything in it inside to see if it's burnt inside, because otherwise you'll make nothing trick. Eventually, or I say eventually, some of you women reached that eventually a long time ago, you'll know about how long it takes until it's burnt, and it won't be purely guesswork. You figure you, by trial and error, you figure out after a short time how long it needs to stay there to get burnt. Once it's thoroughly burnt, then it can be wrapped and thrown away. It should not be thrown away as raw dough. The proper thing, the right thing to do with challah, with the piece that you took with challah, is to burn it through and through, and only then to throw it away. The person absolutely can't. He has absolutely no way of burning it, and it's not going to come to him. He's afraid to leave it around. It's going to get lost, this and that. So then some folks can say, you can wrap it carefully, double wrap it, and throw it away. Some recommend, if you're going to do that, if you know you're going to do that, you know there's no way I can possibly burn this challah, whatever reason, I'm not in my own house, I'm in someone else's house, I can't do it, I can't use their oven for that, they're not going to go for it. Whatever it is, and you know you're going to have to throw it away. So some, the Minchas Yitzchak recommends, so don't take it because I used to begin with. Take a small piece, take a very small piece, you're going to throw it away anyway, it's really not so good to throw it away. So do the mitzvah, you do the mitzvah by taking a small piece. Don't take a whole kazayis then. Take less than the kazayis and wrap it thoroughly and throw it away. But anytime you can burn it, that is the proper thing to do. Okay, so that's the basic process, procedure of the actual mitzvah of Hafrashas Challah. Those are the steps in the actual Hafrasha. Now let's go back to say, when do you have to do it? I mean, when are you chayav? What are the prerequisites? What are the conditions necessary to separate challah, etc.? So first of all, challah is only separated from a dough that is made from one of the five grains, the main five grains that the Torah refers to, which are wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rye. And there has to be a certain minimum amount of flour. You're only chayav challah if you're dealing with a certain minimum amount of dough, of flour. Now, like all questions of shiurim all over the Torah, it's the Torah and the Gemara gives us shiurim in terms that we don't work with it, in terms of eggs, in terms of body parts, how many fingers, and things like that. So converting that into measures that we are familiar with nowadays always ends up to be a machlokas poskim, machlokas rishonim, and achronim, exactly how to convert it to today's measures. That's unavoidable. So Yom Levi comes in, trains it out, it's not going to be resolved. So what comes out, I'll give you the approximate shear, but there are going to be two shearer. We're going to tell you that if you have a certain amount of flour, you should separate challah, but it's only a suffix at that point. We're not sure that that's the right amount, so don't make a bracha. If that's all the amount, then look, instead of talking riddles, let me just say that amount is approximately 2.5 cups, and then when I'm talking, not cups, excuse me, 2.5 pounds, 2.5 pounds. Now, the truth is that the measure that the Torah gives us is not a weight measure. It really is a value. But for most people, it's easier to convert it into weight. So the weight when we're dealing with regular white flour, white wheat flour, as opposed to the other grains, because different flours have different density. And since the shear of the Torah is not a weight, it's a volume. So the grains that are, all the other grains other than wheat are less dense than wheat, and it comes out that they'll take up the same volume, but they won't weigh as much. So you're going to, even for the other grains, you're going to be higher at a lower weight, because the lower weight takes up the same volume. But when we're dealing with wheat, which is what most people use, then the shear at which we say that you should take challah is when you're working with 2.5 pounds, approximately 2.5 pounds of flour, but you would not make a bracha at that point if that's all you're using. If you're only using 2.5, you would not make a bracha because it's a suffix. It's a suffix if you're chayiv. It's not vade that you're chayiv at that shear. That might be a lot less than the shear. That might only be about half of the shear. So we do the mitzvah at that point, and we separate the challah, and we burn it. And you say harizu challah, but you don't say the bracha. You don't say the bracha. When, it's like many mitzvahs, so you know, whenever we have a suffix, we're doing the mitzvah or not, or for obligated mitzvah, you do the maisa, but you don't make the bracha, because you get credit anyway for the mitzvah, and taking a chance on saying a bracha is not a kedai, because if you're not chayav, it's a bracha or a bracha. At what point do you actually make a bracha? At what point do we say that you're vade, you have enough flour that you're vade chayav? That's approximately 5 pounds of wheat flour. Now, numbers are approximate. A lot of different Sfarim give different numbers. There are different shitas in the Gedolei HaPoskim, and even within each shita, different people calculated it differently. But these are approximate numbers. So you would only make a bracha if you have approximately 5 pounds of wheat flour, or slightly less, but very little. It has to be just slightly less. With terms of the other grains, if you need to, there are places like, referring to places that you could look up if someone's making a dough with oats or rye, etc., then, as I said, it's going to be a lower weight, a lesser weight, because the lesser weight will take up the same value. Now, if you combine different types of flours, it's also the same chiyuv, meaning as long as you're dealing with one of these five flours, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't have to be all just from one. Once, if you make the one dough, taking out one dough, make you mix wheat flour with spelt flour or with barley, whatever it is. I don't think I'm using barley, but maybe oats, and maybe. And you mix those flours together, then it's the same chiyuv. Now here, though, the shear will be a little bit less because, as I said, since the other grains are chayiv at a lesser weight, so even if you don't have quite 2.5 pounds, you should already be mafresh challah. Exactly what? Well, you have to figure how much wheat do you have. First, you have to get the number for, let's say, you're mixing wheat flour and spelt flour. So first, you can look up. I can tell you where to look up the number, how many pounds of spelt flour, and then you figure, okay, is it 50% wheat, 50% spelt, or do I have 80% wheat, 20%? You have to, you know, make a cheshbon. Now, if you end up taking challah when you weren't chayiv to, you did essentially nothing wrong. You threw out a little bit, but you didn't make a bracha or anything like that. But if you're able to, you make a cheshbon of exactly or approximately roughly at what point you chayiv. But the point that I'm saying is it doesn't have to be a pure grain. It could be any one of the five grains mixed together. But that's only when you're making one dough out of the two flours. Let's say you make two different doughs. You make a dough out of wheat flour, and you make a dough out of spelt flour. Two different doughs. And neither one is chayiv on its own. Each one is too small. But together, perhaps together, the two would add up to a shiur chayiv. So if they're both the same, let's say you make two separate doughs because you have the equipment you have isn't big enough for one big dough, or whatever it is, you make two separate doughs. Let's say they're both wheat, so you can definitely combine them. You can combine them, and we'll talk about soon the specifics of combining. You can definitely combine them together to a chiyuv, and if they combine together to 5 pounds, meaning to say the amount of flour in the two doughs, both same flour, both wheat flour, or both spelt flour, whatever it is, equals up to the amount you need to be mafresh of the bracha, then you're mafresh of the bracha. That's simple. But what happens if some of it is wheat flour, some of it is spelt flour, or another kind? So the rules are, wheat combines only with spelt. You can't combine a dough made out of wheat with a dough made out of any of the other grains, not rye, not oats, and not barley. Wheat combines only with spelt. Spelt can combine with any of them, not just wheat, but the other three as well. Spelt combines with any of them. Rye combines with spelt, as we said, and also with barley, but not with wheat, as we said. Oats can combine with spelt, we said, and with barley, just not with wheat. And as far as rye and oats together, those two, that's machlokas rishonim, so we would take, but we would never make a bracha. So again, it sounds complicated, it's not really that complex. Wheat only combines with spelt to create a shear for a chiyuv. Spelt combines with anything. Barley combines with anything besides wheat. Rye combines with either spelt and barley. Oats combines with either spelt and barley. And in terms of rye and oats, they also combine with chumrah, but you would never, even if you had 5 pounds or whatever the number is, you would never make a bracha with just rye and oats together. Okay, so now, so again, that was talking about when you make two separate doughs, and neither one of them is a shear, each one of them is smaller than a shear, and you combine them together, so those are the rules. If you have a full shear of, let's say, wheat, a full shear, and a full shear of spelt, then you should simply be mafresh from each one. Once these rules of combining is talking about combining to create a shear. But once you have a shear of separate types, then don't combine them, don't take from one and the other, because there it's a more complex, there are more details which we don't need to go. So just take from each one separately. Okay, now let's say the normal case, you made a big dough, 5 pounds of wheat flour, and you chayiv challah, but before you forgot to separate the challah, And you've already separated, you've already divided into smaller loaves. You want to bake, you know, 5, 6, whatever it is, challahs or challahs, maybe 10, whatever you get out of the 5 pounds. And sort of divide it up, and you didn't separate challahs, and now you need to be mafish challah. So the din is there that you can be mafish challah from one of them, onto all of them. Then you don't have to mamish mix them back together. They need to be in the same room, and they need to be in the same room, and then let's just put it that way. If they're in the same room, then you can be mafresh from one onto the others. Now, okay, we'll give some more detail about that later. Let's say you have smaller doughs, which make separate doughs. Not the first case I gave you is one big dough, and then you separate it into separate challahs. So there, as I said, there's no specifics in how you have to combine them. You just take from one to the other. But let's say you made separate dough. They were never one dough. You made a dough in this bowl and a dough in that bowl. Each one is only half a shear. Together, each one is 2.5 pounds. Together, or whatever it is, and together they make up a chiyuv challah. Or you make three small ones, and together they make up a chiyuv challah. So then you can combine them as well to take from one on the other with a bracha. But there, to combine them, you have to do one of three things. Either you have to literally push them together so that they cling to each other, so that when you pull it apart, it actually, you know, pulls some of the dough off. You have to actually have them clinging to each other. Or else, you put them in a big bowl, put them all into a bowl, and taking care that they're all within the walls of the bowl, meaning not above the edge of the bowl, they're all within the bowl. If they are sticking out above the bowl, then you should cover the bowl. Besides having them in the bowl, you should cover the bowl with a towel or a sheet or a blanket, whatever it may be. And a third way of combining them is simply using something like a towel or a plastic tablecloth, but wrapping them totally, meaning put down on the table, put them on top of your sheet or of your tablecloth, and close on the top so that they're entirely encompassed within the sheet. Okay, so again, three ways of mixing them. You made three separate doughs. Together they have a shear challah, but they were not one dough. So in order to take challah with the bracha, or in order just to take from one to the other, you have to combine them either by sticking them together until they actually cling to each other, or number two, by putting them in a bowl where they're all within the walls of the bowl, or you cover the bowl. And number three, just wrap them all in a sheet or a towel, but all the way around, wrap them from the bottom to the top, and then you can take challah from one with a bracha, take a piece off, and take challah on all of them that way. An exception to this would be, let's say you made these separate doughs and you don't want them to mix. Let's say you put salt in some and some specifically didn't because you have people that can't eat salt or whatever it is. You put certain ingredients in some. Maybe it's maybe you make some of the milchiks within the guidelines of when and how you're allowed to make a milchik dough. But there's some of the milchiks and some of parak. So you clearly don't want them touching at all. Once parak have to stay parak. So then you can't do that. They're not going to combine for a chiyuv, if you're makpid, that they stay separate. Okay, now, just want to go back to 1 second. Now, the din is that if you forgot to take challah, and you already baked the dough, it's already a finished product, you could still be mafresh, it's still the same chiyuv, still be mafresh with the bracha. For example, you get 5 pounds of flour, and you separate the loaves, you bake them, and then you realize afterwards that you are mafish challah. So you can still be mafish challah, and with a bracha, if there's enough shear of the challah. Then again, at that point, again, you should have them all, you have them all in front of you, and you can be mafish challah. But not only that. The halacha says as follows. You can't be mafish challah on Shabbos. Right? Once, if you forgot to be mafish challah, you already baked them, and now it's Shabbos, then you remember, I wasn't mafish challah. So you can't be mafish challah on Shabbos. So if it's Eretz Yisrael, you have a big problem. Because you can't eat it. If you are mafish challah, and if the dough is made in Eretz Yisrael, you can't eat it without the mafish challah. You can't eat mafish challah on Shabbos. You have to go to the local Rav and ask him what to do. But if it's chutz la'aretz, so then the halach is you're allowed to eat it. Even though you were not mafish challah yet, you're allowed to eat it on Shabbos or whenever, you're allowed to eat it. And just leave over a piece, and from the piece you leave over, after Shabbos, you'll be mafish. Meaning, don't just leave over a piece and say, okay, that's my challah. Leave over a piece And after Shabbos, take off part of that and say, Harei Zuchala, and burn it. And you're allowed to do that, it's no problem. Even though some of them are gone, you ate them, a lot of it's gone, it doesn't make a difference. Could be 90% of it's gone, you can still be an Afish Challah that way, and it's not a problem in Chutzpah.
With the bracha, you
could? No, at that point you would not make a bracha. Okay, now, of course, during the week, the same thing would be true if you already ate some of it. You already ate some of it in your Israel Mafish Challah, of course, you could just be Mafish Challah at that point. Okay. Okay, now the mitzvah of challah is not only when you're making bread, or we call challis. The mitzvah of challah applies to any time that you're making a bread family product, what we call either pas or pasa babakistin, which means cakes and cookies and pretzels and all these things, provided the dough is made of one of these five grains. And also, just another detail, which is you should always make sure to use water or one of the other things that in the Torah is called a mashke, olive oil. I mean, nobody's making a dough just of oil, but I don't think so. Your cardiologist would appreciate that. But oil or wine. But if you make a dough purely out of pure fruit juice, other than grapes, from other fruit from grapes, the juice from the grapes, it's a big shiloh, so you're not supposed to do that. I don't think that's so okay. You're not supposed to do that. It's a whole shiloh of egg matzahs, but they do that, they have the mafish challah. But it's typically a person in the home should not do that. You should make sure to use water or wine or, you know, one of those things. Okay, now, but as I said, and the idea has to be that you're planning on baking it, not boiling it. The mitzvah challah is for things that are baked into a bread family product. If you're going to boil something into some sort of a cooked dish, not a baked dish, but a cooked dish, then technically there's no mitzvah of challah. So, even so, if you make a dough, and you make a regular regular dough, and with the intention of baking it, and then you, for whatever reason, change your mind, you know, I don't like the way it came out, whatever, I'm not going to bake this, I'm going to cook it, I'll try an experiment. I'll cook it and make some sort of whatever it is, we'll be creative and see what we can do for it. You still have to mafish challah with the bracha, because when you made the dough, it was made as a regular dough with the intention of baking it, so you still mafish challah, you know, at that point before you bake it. Now, if you made it with the intention of cooking it, you made a regular dough with the intention of cooking it, and you follow through and cook it, so then you mafish challah without a bracha, even though you have 5 pounds and you have all the requisite ingredients, but your plan was never to bake it, it was to cook it, and you actually cooked it, you do not say a bracha, you mafish challah, you don't say a bracha. If you bake any part of it, then you could still be mafish the bracha. As long as you have the amount of flour, you have 5 pounds of flour, and you bake even a small part of it, and 90% of it gets cooked, then you are mafish challah with the bracha. But this again, talking about when you made it with the intention of cooking it. Now, if you make a loose batter, with the intent you're making some sort of cake or whatever it may be, and the batter is loose, but it has enough flour in it. Usually, most people are not going to have 5 pounds of flour, maybe 2.5 pounds of flour. But if you have the amount that's chayim challah, you would still be mafish challah. But there, you must wait till after it's baked. You never mafish challah from a loose batter, from a runny batter. You wait until it's baked, until the cake is baked, and then you mafish challah afterwards. If you are mafish before, it's even a shadow for Yotze, but many of the Sfarim say that you should be mafish again after you bake it. There is we spoke before about combining. So there is a shiloh about whether you can be mafish when some of it is baked and some of it is raw. For example, let's say you made a couple, two doughs, or you made one dough and then you separated into separate challahs, you baked some of them, and you didn't bake the others, and you realize it wasn't mafish challah. So some of them baked and some of them are still raw. Better just bake the others first and then be mafish challah afterwards. Because being mafish when some of it is baked and some of it is raw doesn't always work. There are details, there are machloksim, so it doesn't pay to go into it. Just simply bake it all and then be mafish. So be mafish when it's all raw or it's all cooked. Okay, now There is a very big shaila, which comes up very often as far as the halacha says that if a person ha'ose isa amenas lechalik, if a person made a dough with the intention of dividing it, then he's patur from chal. So at first glance, oh, well, every time you make a 5-pound dough, none of us are taking your 5-pound dough and putting it in the oven that way and cookies. It says if you intend to divide it while if you intend to divide it while it's a dough, you're patur from chal. Well, isn't that what we're all doing? Nobody's baking a fine, unless you may have a big simcha or something, you're making a huge chasen chal or something. Otherwise, you're not baking a 5-pound chal. Everyone is dividing into separate loaves while it's raw, while it's a dough, and then baking it. So if the halacha says, if you make a dough with the intention of dividing it while it's a dough, you're patur from chal. So how does that add up? So there are different terutzim in this nechronim, but so the bottom line comes out like this. These are the halacha that I say as I see it and as I represent it. And okay, if you're separating it with the intention, just separate loaves, and they're all for you, they're all for your family, just you're dividing into separate challahs, because that's what you need, and you're baking them all today, no problem, you make mafash challah with a bracha. As long as you have the 5 pounds, you mafash challah with a bracha, no shot. If you are not baking them all of them today, you're making them into separate doughs, separate challahs rather, and some of them you want to freeze raw, because you want to be able to bake them. You don't need them today, I want them next week, or 2 weeks, and I want them as fresh as possible, so I want to freeze them raw. And the amount I'm baking now is not 5 pounds worth of flour, then you do not make a bracha. Mafresh challah on all of them together, but do not make a bracha. So big machlok is poskim, and this is the Pesach of Shlomo Arbach, and some others do not make a bracha in that situation. If a third case, you're separating them into separate loaves, and you're going to bake them all now, but they're not all for you. I mean, there's something wrong with the thing, but whatever. Is it something? It's okay. None of us went to Zoom school, so you're baking them all now, but you're giving some away. You're baking them with the intention, and when I separated into 10 separate rolls or challah. With the intention of giving some to my neighbor, to my married daughter, to my friend, to the God, whatever it is. So then, if you do that, if you simply do that, separate it, bake it, and give them away, then again, some machlok is poskim, you would not make a bracha. However, there is a way of remedying that, and that is, if you're planning on doing that, when you're making it to separate pieces, your intention is to give some away, so you could bake them first. And then after you bake them, recombine them. Put them all back together. Combine them all into one. I mean, put all the baked things together. And since you intended to do that, when you baked it, even though you separated into separate doughs with the intention of giving them away, but your intention also was to first recombine them as a baked good before giving away, then you could make a bracha. So again, this is the case. Now, this shah has come up many times, and there's a big machlokas about this case, a very common case for people who have married kids in the neighborhood or friends that they'd like to help out and give them challahs. They bake 5 pounds. And some people want to specifically bake 5 pounds, so that they can make a bracha on a fresh challah, but they don't need all of it. So they want to, want to give it away to other people. So then they run into it and say, oh, but 1 second, if when you made it separate loaves, you're giving away to the people. You knew that, so you can't make a bracha, according to many. But this is the eitzah. You have in mind initially when you separate it that before giving it away, once it's baked, I will recombine them, I'll put them back in the sheet or whatever, I'll recombine them, and then I'll give them away once it's baked. That doesn't affect your ability to make a bracha. You make the bracha at the regular time. When you matzah shkal at the regular time, make a bracha so you know you're going to do this. Everyone, and so these are the first case when you're separating the separate loaves, baking it for yourself, all now, all keeping it all, no shot. Make a bracha. Second case again, if you're baking half of it now and half of it you're freezing raw and you're going to bake it for yourself tomorrow, next week, whatever, do not make a bracha. Unless you've left over 5 pounds worth to bake at one time, do not make a bracha. And the third case is when you're giving it away, you're baking it and then giving it away to other people, some of it, and you'll have less than 5 pounds left. So in order to be able to make a bracha, you should have it intend that before you give it away, you're going to recombine the baked loaves together and then you'll give them away. Now, I should point out, if you bake them with the intention of keeping them, no intention of giving them away, and you didn't recombine or whatever, and then somebody wants a challah, or you decide, you find out, so there's 100% mutter to give them away, it doesn't affect your bracha. It's only when you intended, when I made the challah, I intended to separate it and never recombine it. That's when it becomes a shiloh. But if you had no such intention, you baked it with the intention of keeping it, and then somebody asks you, do you have an extra challah? And say, well, I don't know, because then I want to pipe out. I made a brach, I don't want to be brach milah. That's absolutely not correct. There's no problem whatsoever giving it away as long as you baked it with the intention of keeping it. Another case where you for sure don't make a bracha is if you separate it into separate loaves, and let's say you're baking with a group of girls, camp, school, whatever, or a group of ladies, and you separate separate loaves, and you're giving them the raw loaf, and each one's taking the raw loaf for themselves, whether they're baking in your house, whether they're baking it somewhere else, then for sure you can't make a bracha, because then you're separating it as raw dough, and that's it, that's meforshet in. Ha'osa isa amanas l'chalek patur l'chalek. So you're separate, you're really not even chayav challah if you're not getting left with 2.5 pounds for yourself, you don't even have to take challah. But you certainly can't make a bracha in that case when you're giving it to the girls to take home and bake their own challah at home, and you're not left with 5 pounds yourself. If you want to alleviate that problem, you want to have a challah thing with a bunch of girls, with a bunch of women, or whatever it is, and you want to show them, and you want to show them to make a bracha, and you want to give them their own thing to bake. So just make sure you save 5 pounds for yourself, 5 pounds worth of flour for yourself, and then you give away the rest away without a problem. This comes up a lot on people baking for Purim, for example. Let's say you're baking cakes, you're baking challah to give away, or whatever it is. So you're baking a lot, it's 5 pounds, 10 pounds, but you're giving away 90% of it. So according to what I said, what you should do is you intend when you first make it and separate it into you make the dough. When you make the dough, your intention is to separate it and then recombine it. Just remember, separate, make a bracha on hafrasha. Just remember that after you bake it all, first recombine it all for a second. Recombine it for 1 second, and then you're good to go. Then you can separate it and give it away to everyone you want, and there's no problem on the bracha. Now, another shot that comes up in this vein is, what happens if you get challahs or cakes from people who weren't machmir challah? Why not? Because they just made a small cake. Let's say it's Purim. And they made a small cake, and they weren't machmir challah. And now you have a whole bunch of cakes, and now you have in front of you a lot of cake, and there's more than 5 pounds worth of flour in all this cake. And you put them all into your freezer, for example. So do we say now they're combined? Is your freezer like a bowl that combines them? And now you have to be machmir challah? So this is a big shaila in poskim. The mice of many poskim say the freezer doesn't combine, especially if it's a large freezer that contains a certain volume. But also if they're wrapped individually, in order to separate challah from one or the other, one thing I didn't mention before, when the din is when you have, for example, two small doughs, and you want to put them, they should not be individually wrapped. They have to be can't be in separate containers. When I said you put them into a bowl, but they should not be in separate containers, like in separate plastic bags or anything like that. They should be open and touching. So this cake is properly, each one's, if it's in a separate plastic bag, if it's just wrapped in paper or aluminum foil, it's not so posh, that's machalic. But if it's in a separate plastic bag, that's machalic. And the freezer, it's not so posh that the freezer combines them. So the mice, most people will say that you don't have to. If it's just a question that it combines into your freezer from different places and separately wrapped, you don't have to worry about being machal in that case. Now, another very common or somewhat common situation is the following. We said that when you separate the challah, so the piece is essentially tray, you're not allowed to eat it. So sometimes it happens that a person who is making challah, she separates the challah, and then she goes to take it to burn it, and she can't find it. What happened to the challah? Where'd it go? So the fact that she knew that the dog grabbed it and ran away with it, it's like, no, that's it, finish. You don't have to take challah again. You separate the challah, you're supposed to burn it, but burning it is not part of the mitzvah. Burning is just to get rid of it in a respectable way. But if a dog took it, a dog took it, or if your kid took it, or if it fell into the incinerator, it's gone, okay. But what often happens is you realize that it probably got mixed back into the dough. It was sitting around, it was dealing with the dough, maybe somebody else saw it, and you really believe, you either know for sure, or strongly believe that it got mixed back into the dough. So now what's the shayla? The shayla is, well, it's treif, it's usur. Now it's mixed back into your dough. And to be batel, it would have to be, we know that sometimes you can have milk mixed into meat and it's kosher if it's batal. You can have chazer mixed into your kosher meat and it's also into your chicken soup and it's kosher if it's 60 times more. Here it's not 60, it would have to be 101 times more. The amount of the dough would have to be 101 times more than the challah piece, which in most cases is not going to be. So what do you do then? So the halacha is you could uproot and undo the hafrasha the way you're matar and neder. The same way you're matar and neder, you go in front of a basin, three men, and you tell them, in this case, what you would do is, well, you tell them, I was mafresh challah, and I regret having been mafresh that piece of challah because it ended up getting mixed up into the dough. And they say, well, had you known you regretted, would you have done it? No, I wouldn't have been mafresh that piece. I would figure out something else out. And they say either mutalach, 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 or they say ois challah, and it's ois challah. It's no longer challah. The kedushas challah goes off, just like if you had a neder, and you regret making the neder, and you go to the people, they say, would you have made the neder if you knew you would regret it? And you say, no. So then it becomes, the neder goes off. So here too, this is the same lumbus. It's no longer challah. And if it's no longer challah, so now you have no problem eating anything, but you have to mafresh again. Okay, now you have to mafresh challah. So technically, and most of us can say, mafresh again with the bracha. You're starting from scratch. So if you had 5 pounds, the bracha. But some posts say, don't make a bracha because the original bracha still works, even though it's been a long time and you've interrupted, you ran around frantically figuring out what to do in between. But a number of posts can still say the original bracha is valid, so it seems that better not to make a bracha in that case. But you definitely have to be mafresh again. Now the question, so who could do this? You're busy in the kitchen, you're preparing for Shabbos, you have a lot of things to do, and you realize it happened. So you have a 16-year-old son, a 25-year-old son is at home. Do me a favor, could you go find 3 men, you go to the call, go to someone's house, I'll make a phone call, get 3 men. No, that doesn't work. You have to do it yourself. You can't do Hataras Nedarim Ede Shaliach, in general. But one difference is your husband could, if your husband's home and available, or if you're slapping home, then your husband could do it. Because it's his dough. So even if the wife is the one as mafresh, either the husband or the wife, either one of them could be shoel. It's called shoel on this atara, on this hafrasha, and make it as challah and do it over again. But other than that, no, the husband can't say, like, I'm busy, get someone else to do it. You can't. You can't get your son, you can't get your brother, you can't get your neighbor to do the shayla. You or your husband have to stand in front of the basin, and not the Zoom either, stand in front of the basin actually, and be matineder, and then be mafresh again. Let's say a shaliach made the dough for me. Now the halacha, by the way, is nobody can be mafresh challah without my permission. So if I'm making a dough, or you're making a dough, and someone else sees, let's say one of your children sees, and they say, okay, I always want to be mafresh challah, mommy's busy, I'll do it, I'll surprise her. She'll come back and say, guess what, honey, I did it. It doesn't work. You can't be mafresh challah without reshus from the Baal HaBayis. So, but if I make a shaliach to be mafresh challah, then that's fine, I can make a shaliach. So if I made a shaliach to be mafresh challah, and this happens, it gets back mixed back in, so the shaliach, who's supposed to be mafresh neder? Should the shaliach be matir neder because he has harata that he has, you know, he regrets having separated it? So he's the one separate, he regrets. Or am I supposed to be matir neder? So am I supposed to be shaliach? I regret having made him a shaliach because look what he did for me. Now, but the tzad that you have to do it that way is because it could be once he did the mitzvah, he separated, he's not my shaliach anymore. He's finished, his job is finished. He was my shaliach to make challah. He wasn't my to separate challah, he wasn't my shaliach to make an ois challah. So that's the shaliach of the poskim. What to do, it's probably better than, some say both should do it, but otherwise the Baal HaBayis probably should do it himself, and he should say, I have charata for appointing him as a shaliach, because, and they'd say, mutlach, mutlach, and then I either have to be mafresh challah or reappoint him if I want. I can call him up and say, okay, I took care of it, do me a favor, be mafresh challah again for me, I can reappoint him, but you would have to do that in order for it to, in order for it to work, in order for it to be valid. Okay, well, I think just like one more point I want to mention, and then if anyone has questions, be happy to take them. Let's say you're making a dough with less than 2.5 pounds of flour. And you're not mafresh challah. You make the dough, and as you're making it, sometimes I understand sometimes you want to add a little flour because it's sticking or whatever it is, it's easier to get your hands. But so now you have to be careful because if you put more flour in, you may tip the scale, you may go over, and now you have enough. Or even if you had an amount that was a suffix, if you add a little, since it's a suffix, when you add a little bit more, maybe it originally wasn't high, you were mafresh already, and 2.5, but maybe that wasn't really enough. It's like maybe the halacha is like one of the sheikhs that says it's a little more. It has to be 3 pounds. And now I was not, or whatever the number. I ate a more flour, and now it's tayyib. So even though I was mafrish before, if you're mafrish at the point that it's kutter, it's worthless. Right? But let's say you take 2 cups of flour and you make a little cookies, and it's, nobody knows you're chayyib kutter. You're kutter for sure. You're mafrish challah, it's nothing. That piece of challah, it's nothing. It's not challah, it's nothing. So if you were mafrish at 2.5 pounds, but really, kapishmai, you know, from a chef's perspective, you weren't chayyib. That was nothing. Now you added a little more flour, and maybe you tip the balance. Now maybe it is enough. So they recommend trying not to do that. That if you're, unless you had a vada shear already, now maybe just, it could be just like very small amounts you could take a chance on, but you shouldn't get any significant amount without being mafish chala or being mafish chala yin. If you know, if that is, again, certainly if that amount brings you to 2.5 pounds, of course, then you have 2.5 pounds, of course you have to be mafish. Or even if you're a mafish already, and at 2.5 pounds, but less than 5, and you ate a significant amount, it's kedai to be mafish again, because it could be the original frusha was not necessary, and therefore, you know, pointless and meaningless, and now you're actually chayav, so it's taka kedai in that case to be mafish again. I think I covered most of what I have here. If anybody has any questions, we'll take a look.
I just want to be clear on 2 points. We're assuming, I do bake with other grains besides, so we're assuming that spelt whole wheat, it's less than 5 pounds, meaning, is okay. That correct?
Spelt is less, yes. What were the other grains other than wheat? Leave out the word wheat. Spelt, rye, oats, and barley, they're less. Each one's less. I can show you out of the car actually a chart that gives shiur for each one of them, shiur based on the pounds.
There's a flour called white spelt. So would that still be begedar?
You mean it's part wheat and part white wheat?
No,
and part
I think it means that it's more sifted or something. I'm not certain.
Okay, but if it's all spelt, then you just take the spelt.
But it doesn't matter. It's still the amounts of spelt.
Right. Now, I just want to mention, if you have a bit, but you mentioned whole wheat. Whole wheat is a different story. Whole wheat is wheat, right? It's wheat. So technically, it should be the same as white wheat. It should be the same shear. There is a shiloh, though, about whole wheat, that it might not be chayav until a larger amount. Why is that? Because whole wheat, the Shulchan Aruch says that if you grind up grain and the whole grain, including the bran and everything else, and you make the flour out of it, then you have the same shear as anything else, and you separate chal the same amount. But if you remove the bran from the flour, and then it gets put back in, it's no longer mitzvah. Once the grain is considered basically psolus. It's considered the unwanted part, the waste part of the grain. So as long as it's part of the original grain, the grain was ground up with the bran in it, okay, so it's all part of it. The halacha is you just need 5 pounds total. But once you take it out, it becomes, I don't want to use the real word for people who like whole wheat, but it becomes like garbage. It's psolus. It's nothing. So putting it back in is like putting in sand. If you have 4.5 pounds of flour, white flour, and 0.5 pound of sand, you can't be mafresh challah with a bracha. The sand is not the star for the shear. So the bran, once it's out, it's sand. It's garbage. It's not hard. Now the way whole wheat is made nowadays, that's what they do. I got this from the Mumchim, Rabbi Kohen Asher from the CRC, did a lot of research and worked on this. He actually published something about this. They take it out first, and then they put it back in. For whatever production reasons I can show you, if you want, you can read a chapter in the Sefer about this. It explains it all for those who are scholarly and technically minded. So the question is, do we say, well, you put it back in, so it's not mistara, so now you need more. You need more because you need a shear where you're going to have 5 pounds, to make a bracha, 5 pounds of real flour, of the real part of the grain, the main part of the grain without the bran. Or no, do we say nowadays, the fact that taking it and putting it back in, it's part of the production. People want it nowadays. It's not considered, you know, waste anymore. They're putting it back in, not just as a filler because they want to save money and, you know, they want to use sand, except you might choke on the sand, so they'll put the bran. No, they're doing it because you want it. It's good for you. You think it's good for you. The doctor says it's good for you. So you want the fiber, whatever it is. You want the whole wheat. So the mela, you're putting it back in. So that's why you're putting it back in. So it could be that it is nichal. It's like you never took it out. So this is a big shiloh in halacha. So is the shear exactly the same for whole wheat, or is it more? So when it comes to the 2.5 number, I would definitely suggest you should still be mafresh at 2.5, even though it could be, you know, not chayav with whole wheat, but you should be mafresh. When it comes to making a bracha, it's somewhat questionable. It comes out, I'm sure about the same thing inside, but I think it comes out, you would have to add 17% more. in order to, if you're choshesh for that other suffix. It's not resolved suffix. In fact, I contacted Roy Cohen today. If he asked the child to any of the contemporary development, and it doesn't seem that he did. He, in his sefer, he leaves it as a child. So to actually make mafresh the bracha on whole wheat, it's very possible that you would need more than just five.
Can I make the shiloh more complicated? No, okay. So I do make pizza dough with whole wheat and apple juice, but I was never mafresh with the bracha because it's apple juice. Is that correct?
Definitely correct, but you don't put it in the apple juice. Pure apple juice?
Or? No, also apple juice and also water.
Okay. Right, so you would not be mafresh with the bracha. It's more apple juice than water? Right, so you wouldn't be mafresh with the bracha, but yes.
And even if it's getting to very large amounts of whole wheat flour, because there's apple juice, a lot of apple juice in it.
Yes, that's good.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. If you have questions, I'll be happy to take them. Just quickly browse if I any major. Oh, yeah, I did see something that I've been said I'd get back to it, and I didn't, so give me just 1 second. You know, so we mentioned before that the Shulchan Aruch says that. It's brought that there's a minute for women to make dough, and bake challah, bake breads, and sever challah on Friday. So there are two reasons given in the posting. One is a very plain pasuk, Kavod Shabbos. It's Kavod Shabbos to be involved in Lisha and Afiyah, doing it to have fresh baked goods and your own fresh baked goods. It's a mitzvah to do as Kavod Shabbos. The other reason is an inyan to be mafresh challah on a Friday to be misaking the chet of challah. So many women ask, well, if I'm going to bake every week, I'm not going to have chiyuv challah. I might not even have 2.5 pounds, certainly not 5 pounds. If it's just a couple, or you know, maybe little babies, then that could be she hasn't even used 2.5 pounds. And even if it's more people, but it could be they don't need 5 pounds. So she says, so what's better? Should I do it every week and l'kavod Shabbos, and I'll be making fresh, good challahs l'kavod Shabbos, but I'll never be mafresh challah, I'll never be mafresh l'bracha? Or should I wait? I'll do it every other week or every third week. I'll make a whole shear, mafresh l'bracha. And then I'll freeze, now, according to what we said before, don't freeze the raw dough, because if you freeze the raw dough, then you, anyway, can't make a bracha, according to the sheet I said. But I'll bake them all now, so I can make a bracha, and I'll freeze the challahs fresh frozen, and I'll take it out of the oven. Each Friday, I'll take out some challahs, not out of the oven, excuse me, out of the freezer. Every Friday, I'll take out some challahs in the freezer, and this way I'll have, you know, fairly good, and I'll even heat them up. I'll heat them up for Shabbos, so I'm not baking them, I'm not making them from scratch, but I'm at least heating up. What's better to do? Better to do it every week and be more focused on the Kavod Shabbos, or is it better to do the every couple of weeks and be mafresh challah? So there's no clear answer. Chaim Kanievsky, when he's asked this question, he says, his response is, I've been asked this many times. And he says, he's noted to say that you should do it every week. Do it every week Chaim said it. He's noted to say, just do it when you be mafresh challah. And you don't have to do it every week. And this week, you're not a shalom. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky in his sefer says clearly, strongly the other way. He says, better to do it on Kavod Shabbos. The reason it says the Shulchan Aruch is Kavod Shabbos. The post to bring in this Kabbalah in, being not a shalom. But the post, so either way you do it, you can't go wrong. Some recommend that, look, if you do it even only every 2 or 3 weeks, but every Friday you heat them up with Kavod Shabbos, and that's also Kavod Shabbos. So some recommend doing it this way, you can be mafresh challah with the bracha every few weeks. But either way you do, it's not a chiyuv, none of this is a chiyuv, not machuyuv to make fresh bread every Shabbos, and not machuyuv to mafresh challah on Friday if you don't know to make it though. So either way you do it, you can't go wrong. There are, rabbanim who suggest on either side of this coin. Okay, I think for the most part I covered everything. Yes.
I assume you can't put a challah dough and a cookie dough together to be mafresh.
Well, what is your cookie dough? What do you mean? Does it have different ingredients than the challah dough?
Has it what?
Different ingredients than your challah dough?
Yeah.
And it's a
because you said that you have to be if it's enough flour, then you have to be mafresh.
Right, so what does the cookie dough consist of? Besides flour and water? Okay, so it's a heavy dough, not a batter. Heavy dough, similar to a challah dough. Is that yes? And okay, and you are you mapping that they not combine because it's on a sugar, I don't want to have to get sugar. You map it on that, you're not, if you map it on that, you can't combine them. If you're not mapping on that, and then you definitely should combine the mafresh. If you're really mapping on mapping and you put them all together, you know, you have them touch until they have to be pulled apart with strings, or you do the other methods, then you really could be mafresh even with the bracha. But if you're not sure, you know, I really don't want to do that because I don't want the sugar to spill into the challah, or I don't whatever it is, how you map it, then do it in domi. You should still do it, but domi bracha, not mafreshim. And the same thing would be if you make one dough and you're going to divide it in half, and you're going to use half for challah and half for the exact same dough, but you can divide it in half. Half's going to become kapish cake, and half's going to become bread. So, but you definitely should be mafresh, and it seems that you should probably be even mafresh with the bracha if you have a shear. And at that point, the dough is exactly the same dough, and you're dividing it, but you're dividing it for yourself. You're going to bake it all now, and especially if you're not mapping it, when you make it into cake, you wouldn't be mapping that they combine, and you can make a bracha. And again, certainly, again, if you do the eights I said before, that after you bake them, just put them together for 1 second, touch them together, and bake for 1 second, then you can be mapping sheep with the bracha in that case.
One question. You said that when you take the challah, then it's I guess tummy or whatever.
It's trafe, right?
So then you have to, if you took the challah but some of the dough stuck to your hands, you have to make sure that you peel off all of that dough before you start to.
You should do that. You should do that. Yes, I've heard the suggestion of some people saying, "Well, maybe I have tznai that I'm only making challah that which comes off easily." That's my challah. Whatever sticks in my fingers, I never intended to be challah. Such a suggestion, but it's better to try to wash your hands. Get it out of your hand and wash your hand before you start working with the dough. That would be a better procedure.
Is it when we give taka cakes or challahs on Purim and Shalach Manos, how often does this shayla really come up that people might have to put it together? Meaning, is it important for us to write like Ana Shalach Manos Hofesh challah or something so that people know that they're not ending up with a shayla, or is it not such a practical problem that's coming up?
Well, it depends who, some people would appreciate it, because some people are going to be chashish, and maybe the freezer is mistarfid, and maybe plastic bags is not considered a separate keli. These are all shaylas in the postkin. So some people would appreciate it if you write it, I don't think if you're not mavish challah, you have to write anything, because that's going to be the assumption, that if you just give a cake, no one can assume a mavish, and no one's going to end up being mavish with a bracha. They'll still be mavish without a bracha, but if you were mavish challah already, you'll be making some people's lives easier, that they'll say, I don't worry about putting the freezer and this and that.
I don't think any lady ever thought to ask this child. Except all of a sudden.
Okay, now look in the smart and we'll see if this is
it.
This is a discussed child.
Can I just ask a question? I know excuse me because I was late and probably you covered it. Basically, if I make two different batteries, you're saying, and combined it equals the 5 pounds, 14 cups or whatever, I could be mafresh if I'm just trying to say if it was touching it together raw or cooked, I wouldn't care.
Okay, so two different batters, but they're both exactly the same. Let's start with that. Two wheat batters and they're just made in two separate bowls. Because
very very similar. Let's see, one pizza dough and one challah.
Okay, but you don't mind the doughs themselves. You're okay with the mixing.
I mean, it's slightly different, but it's not like the worst thing if it does touch. But I without asking, I've been mafresh challah. I assume it's very close. They're both in separate bowls, and I make a bracha because it's.
Yes, you can, but they shouldn't be separate bowls. You shouldn't have them separate bowls. You should either take them out of the bowls and either, like I say, stick them together to the point where you have to pull apart.
Or just take a little bit of each and let them stick on the counter,
Yes, because you need five pounds.
If you're making challah and it's in two separate bowls, they have to be combined some way.
If each one is less than a shear, together they're a shear, and yes, they have to combine either by, it was never one dough, right? It's different if it was one dough when you divide it. This was never one dough. So you have to either combine them that way, or put them both, wrap them both in a sheet, bottom and top, or put them in a bowl.
Just dump them all on the counter?
You could do that, but then you have to, on the counter, they have to stick together.
Stick together in some way. You're saying even if I make let's say the machine can't handle it so much, even if there are two separate bowls, the identical recipe, right, you're saying it has to be combined?
Yes, to make a bracha, to be considered one shear, to make a bracha, it has to be combined.
Wow.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And everyone else.
What do you do in the community. I'm just new.
Oh, I'm new too.
Thank you.
Are you going to?